right, I'm going to be in a little series of a few messages. I'll be in Galatians chapter 2, and don't know if you're sure if I want to make it on Galatians exactly. We'll talk a lot about Galatians, the book, Galatians chapter 2, but I want to talk about our relationship with the law, and I think it'll take us 3 weeks, Lord willing, and we'll study this out on Thursday nights. The Christian and the law. And I titled this one, number one, we are not under the law. Not under the law. Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 16. By the way, I don't know how people can read verse 16 and believe in work salvation. It's any Christian, anybody has the Bible. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Boy, he says it backward and forward there in that verse. You really can't get around it. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we'll talk about the law. Father, we thank you for the word of God, Lord. And we have a little bit of a deeper subject tonight that we'll go into, Lord, and I pray that you'd help us to understand and rightly divide your word. Lord, you know that we always need preaching on our sins and things to straighten us out, but we also need good doctrine to be established in our hearts, Father, and I pray we would get it and understand your teaching, and I pray that I would rightly divide the word, and you would please just control my mind and tongue, and may we just understand these doctrines as we'll study them in the next couple of weeks. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today will be a little more of a overlaying of a subject. The next couple weeks we'll go down in there in those subjects and so you might have questions after today. Those questions that we'll be going into over the next couple weeks about the law and how it relates to us. First of all, I want to say the book of Galatians is an important book about this. Book of Galatians is not to a church. Most of Paul's letters were to a church or to a person. Either Timothy, Titus, or the church at Philippi, the church at Colossae, or the church at Thessalonica. But Galatia is a region, okay? And Paul went through there and established several churches. And as he went through to establish those churches, he had a lot of battles and a lot of attacks spiritually and really wasn't in a lot of spiritual war. And I got the churches. One thing Paul had, and it's made me, I ponder this a lot, just as far as our mission philosophy and the way we do things, and I've talked and kind of taken some pastors in the States in their minds and says, what do you think about this? Because Paul, he went and established churches very quickly and left them not super well established. Okay, he just didn't. He would have to go back to those churches and then ordain, make a pastor in that city sometimes. He had. I think Titus. He said to Titus, he says, "I left you in Crete that you'd ordain elders in every city." And Paul would go back and he would find out that they got messed up. He had to write letters to Corinthians, the Galatian churches, and stuff like that. Now, I'm not critical of that. What would be to me if I'd criticize Paul for anything he did? I think that in America, probably, because here's what I'm saying, as I go around the world, they do this a lot in the countries that are having revival. They quickly plant a church, and then they go get another church. As soon as that one's going, they go get another one. And they take less time to train a pastor. And then there's drawbacks to that, but they sure do reach a country a lot faster. The problem in America is nowadays, when somebody goes to Bible college, they get almost overeducated, and then they don't want to go in the ministry and take any chances. And so you got a guy who'll keep on getting his education for 10 years, and never still preach and have any great works of God and be involved in laboring in Christ and the harvest and things like that. But Paul had founded these churches, and after he left, he had many problems with the Jews that weren't saved, that didn't believe attacking him in these regions. But then there were some Jews who said they were Christians, but they're false prophets, who came in behind him to the churches in that region of Galatia, and they told him, because these were Gentile believers. This is in Turkey. These are not Jewish believers. These churches are not Jewish churches. They're Gentile churches. But the Jews came in after Paul, who were supposed to be Christian Jews, but they're false prophets, and they came in, and by the way, talked about Jesus, looked good, looked like spiritual leaders. People who cause problems never look like the devil. Okay, they never do, okay? They came in and they said, yes, you've accepted Christ, but if you do not keep the law, you will not go to heaven. You've got to keep the law to be saved. And they took them back from Christ, back under the law. And the book of Galatians is very strong rebuke in saying, you are not under the law anymore. It's false doctrine. And Paul says, I don't care who preaches that to you. And he makes that very strong. Chapter 1, verse 6, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Why is it not another? Because the gospel is good news. Going back under the law is not good news. Okay? which is not another. Let's see, unto another, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you who pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any of the gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As you have said before, I say now again, if any man preach any of the gospel, then that ye have received, let him be accursed. And he makes it pretty strong. And later he's going to say, if an angel from heaven comes down and preaches the gospel, let him be accursed too. He says, we're very serious about this. It is false doctrine. He's very strong. They were told they had to go be circumcised, which the Gentiles didn't. And in chapter 5, he says, stand fast in liberty, not being under the law, wherewith Christ has made us free, and being unentangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify to everyone that is circumcised, he is a debtor due to the whole law. If you put yourself under the law, you understand, if you're saved by works, now you're under the whole law, and you have to keep every single commandment. You have to be perfect. Okay, if you want to do that, and he says, go for it, but Christ won't save you if you're going to be saving yourself. If the law is your salvation, you can choose that, but you have to keep the law perfectly, or you're not saved. And so he's very strong on that. And so we see these Judaizers. They had moved under the law, chapter 3. The Galatians were down the hill. They were already saying, it got back to Paul. These guys are, all these Gentiles are being circumcised. They're starting to keep the Sabbath. They're starting to keep the feasts, and they're starting to do all these things to be saved. And they're starting to do all these different Jewish things, and they are going back under the law because they think they have to do that to be saved. Chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. As you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you remember that. Did you get that by the law, or did you get it by faith in Jesus Christ? Are ye so foolish? These are important verses for Christians today. You know if you're going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. Why? Well, I got saved, and because I'm doing good things, give the commandments. Okay, look what the Bible says. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Good question. You got saved by trusting Christ. Are you now made the rest of the way saved by the flesh? You got to pick. Romans 11:6 says that's one or the other. Having suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain, he that ministered unto you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. He says, hey, when we came and when people were there doing miracles and healings, and I came and showed you the miraculous power of God, was it by the law or was it by preaching faith and preaching Jesus Christ and him as the way to heaven? And so there's many debates and many things he says there, but he says, you've been very foolish. You've been bewitched. You've been moved back under the law, and you are in big trouble. Number one, just a few thoughts on this. Number one, we are dead to the law. We are dead to the law. Verse chapter 2, verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. For I, through the law, am dead unto the law. So he says, you know what? I am dead to the law. The law has no power over me. The law is not anything that's going to save me. I am dead to that law. The Bible's just going to say it real clear. You're not under the law. I'll take you some verses that say that. Romans chapter 6. I've talked to some people. There's what's called right now. It's pretty hip right now in Christianity. It's called the Hebrew Roots Movement. There's these messianic churches and things like that. And I have talked to good guys and nice people in these movements. They've come to our church many times, the messianic believers and things like that. And most of them are fine and harmless and good folks and saved and all those things. And there's one of those churches, and I know the pastor, and he's not half a mile from right here right now. And I show him around his building, talk to him and know him and everything. But a lot of people are starting to say, you've got to keep these things. And you got to keep the Sabbath. By the way, they don't have any idea what that means. You better read Leviticus before you say you're going to keep the Sabbath. You can't start a fire. You can't start your engine. Okay, you can't travel anywhere. I mean, you can't do anything. You can't cook. You can't. You keep the law. It's amazing. And it starts at 6 a.m. It's not just on Saturdays. People don't know anything about it. I'm going to keep the Sabbath on Saturday. That's the day I go to church. You know, the Bible never says you go to church on the same day as the Sabbath. It's an association of the mind, and a lot of things we'll get into in another service on this, but. We are not under the law. So I'll say, well, we're still under the law. I'll say, okay, ready? Let's read the Bible and say if we're still under the law. Ready? Verse 14, Romans 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What does that really mean? Okay, it means in the Greek, you're not under the law. Okay, it's not real complicated. God says things real clear, and he's not trying to confuse us. Yeah, what then? Verse 15, in case you didn't get it. Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And so we see that. Now, he's going to illustrate how we're dead to the law and why we're not under the law in Romans chapter 7. And I'm going to read all the verses, but basically Romans 7, the start of the chapter, says this. Listen, he said, when somebody was married to somebody, the only way they were set free was by death, okay? And then they could marry another. But first, one had to die, and then they could be remarried. Well, he says, the law died, and we are now married to Christ, okay? That's what it's going to say. Chapter 7, verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. How that a law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Sounds to me like if you're under the law and under grace, you're an adulterer spiritually, okay? But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so she is no adulteress, so she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law, by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. Jesus took the law and he nailed it to the cross, okay? And it's dead. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. We're supposed to get close to Christ. We're not under the law. We're dead to the law. We're now married to Christ. If we go back to the law, we are committing adultery on Christ. Okay, it's said crisscross many different ways in the Bible, okay? We are not under the Old Testament law, okay? Says it in many, many ways, and so we see that. Let's go back to Galatians 4. Keep your finger in Galatians. We'll be there many times. And little things of being under the law bleed into many religions. For example, a priest. Case. The Bible says there's no continuing priesthood, and that Jesus became our high priest forever, and all of us are priests of God. But some religions keep the Old Testament priesthood there because it seems feels kind of holy and right. But that's law. Read Hebrews; it talks about we're the priests of God, every believer now, and we have direct access to God and all those things. This leaks into a lot of different things when you don't understand that the law's dead and you're dead to it. Galatians 4, let's read verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Okay, so people desire to be under the law. They don't even get what they're saying. Galatians chapter 5. And by the way, what a big thing Paul says, hey guys, I know the law like the back of my hand. I was under the law. You don't even know what you're talking about getting back under the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if he be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Okay. Do you see that we're not under the law? Pretty clear here? Okay, we've said it a lot of places there. We are not under the law anymore. So, why? Because Jesus finished the law. He fulfilled the law and brought us to Christ. And Galatians chapter 3. And verse 23. But before faith came, when we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Pretty clear? He says, what the law did is it said, here's all these commandments. By the way, there is 613 commandments in the Old Testament. 365 of those are negative do not things. One for every day. And so out of all those things, the law says, do this. If you don't do this, capital punishment. If you don't do this, capital punishment. All these rigid things in the Old Testament, you're going, God said, kill him for that? And you got to do this and this and this and this and this and sacrifice this way and sprinkle the blood this way and do this thing this way. This is ridiculous. And God said, that's right. I want you to understand how high my standards are and how great my holiness is. So I'm going to make such a strict set of rules. You're going to throw your hands up and say, I cannot do this. And God's going to say, you're right. It's my long way of getting around and saying, you are a sinner who can't save yourself. It is a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, to say, I cannot keep the law. And God says, okay, you got it. The law has done its job now. It made you lost to bring you to faith. And now you realize you can't keep the commandments. You're lost. Now you need a savior. Once it says, you say, okay, oh, I am a sinner. I need a savior. Jesus Christ, save me from my sins. I can't save myself. It says you don't need the schoolmaster anymore to bring you to Christ. You're at Christ. But now they're going back into the schoolmaster. And that doesn't do any good. So number one, we are dead to the law, or we are not under the law. Number two, Christ fulfilled the law. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. See, we didn't have to fulfill it, but Christ did it for us. Let's see, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I read a Hebrew roots thing just studying for this sermon just to see what they would say about that verse, because it's pretty strong verse there. And boy, you should see the scriptural gymnastics, I call it, they try to do to say this word fulfill doesn't merely mean to fulfill. And then I look at the word to fulfill, and it means to cram all the way to the top. That's what it means. It literally means to cram all the way to the top. Okay? He came to fulfill the law. Okay? He didn't come to destroy it. Now, I'm thought about making this a whole sermon. There's a big difference. Maybe I shouldn't get too much into it. But there's a big difference between destroying something, which the Bible does not say God did, and fulfilling something. Okay? He fulfilled the law. He did not destroy it. He said, don't think I'm coming to destroy the law. I'm not coming to destroy it, but to fulfill it. Let's say you owed $100,000 in debt to some credit card company, and somebody came, and they're going to get rid of that debt. They could either destroy the debt, and they blow up the bank, okay? Or they fulfill the debt by paying it off, okay? Jesus paid it off, okay? And that's what he did. Christ fulfilled the law. Let's look at John chapter 1. Because the law in the Old Testament was all about Jesus. It was all a shadow, and we'll read some verses on that pointing us to Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we see that. The technical spot when the law ended, the Bible teaches us, if you go to Luke chapter 16, I believe, just because I'm a real simple guy, and I just read things real simple in the Bible and believe it, and looks pretty simple to me. Looks like the law ended at John. So when the law finished. John chapter 16 and verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. Looks pretty clear. About the time when it ended there, when John came on the scene, began preaching Christ, because Christ was there when John started preaching, and that's when the law probably ended, and looks like that. So Jesus fulfilled it. He redeemed us from being under the law. He bought us back. He paid the price that the law put us in debt. Now let's look at Galatians chapter 4. Again, I hope you're keeping Galatians there, because we'll be going back to it the entire time. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made under the law. That's important because he was going to fulfill it. To redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And so we see that. Number one, we are dead to the law. We are not under the law. Number two, Christ fulfilled the law. And number three, it was a shadow of things to come. The law is a shadow. Everything that was happening in there, and we could talk about the holy days, and we preach a whole series about the holy days and what they're showing us a picture of the Holy Spirit coming and many things like that. Whether it's a Sabbath, and Hebrews 2 and 3 talks about the rest for the people of God and salvation. Whether it's the lamb, there was the male lamb without spot or blemish, showing a picture of Christ. The law, it was showing us and pointing us in every way to Jesus Christ. So when Christ came, he fulfilled what the law was about. And so now he has fulfilled all those parts of the law. And we'll get a little more into that next week. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible the blood of bulls and the goats should take away sins. Wherefore he cometh into the world, saying, sacrifice and offerings would thou not, but a body hast thou prepared for me, and so on. And he says, all these things were, they couldn't forgive people's sins, but it was a shadow, a picture of how Jesus was going to come someday. And that's what the law did. And it showed us a shadow of things that were going to come in the future. And some people go to Colossians chapter 2, read verse 13 through 17. Some people, you know, talk about how that they were believing on him who was to come. Even in the Old Testament, Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. They were believing on the picture because they were believing of something that would come someday. Because the sacrifices they did for their sins couldn't take away their sins, the Bible said. They just couldn't do it. Okay, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So I say, don't let anybody tell you got to do these things, that all these Old Testament things, they were a shadow of what Jesus fulfilled. Okay? He was doing those things. Next, number four, those things he fulfilled, we don't need to do anymore. Those things he fulfilled, we don't need to do anymore. Hebrews, let's see. I got some verses from Hebrews in here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. And some of the verses in Hebrews 10. We read a few of them. We just read those verses about how that they would have stopped doing them if it would have worked and it would have taken away their sins. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Very priest sent daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." Okay? Once for all, a sacrifice of sins forever. Do we need to continue to kill lambs when Jesus died, was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world once for all? No. We don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore. Jesus was our lamb. It was a shadow. That lamb was a shadow of Jesus. He fulfilled that. And so we don't need to sacrifice a lamb and to catch his blood and put it in the basin and sprinkle it in the altar and all the different sacrifices. Those were all a shadow of things to come. He's fulfilled that once for all. So they don't need to do that anymore, Hebrews tells us. And so we don't have to do that. There are many other things. Let's look at dietary in Acts chapter 10. There are many dietary restrictions in the Old Testament, many things you can't eat, a whole bunch of things. You couldn't eat a shrimp, and you couldn't eat a pig, and you couldn't eat a bunch of things. And I can live without the shrimp, but if I was under the law, boy, I might be a worse sinner because of those pigs. It's the pigs that get you every time. And so Acts chapter 10. And verse 12, and there were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, forbidden things to eat. And verse 13, then there came a voice to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again, second time, saying, "What God hath cleansed, call thou not common." And so he says, you know, eat this stuff. All kinds of things you're not supposed to eat. The dietary restrictions. So now, we are not under the law for dietary restrictions, okay? We're not under that anymore. And we see that they were allowed to eat those things, and Paul said, eat whatever's set in front of you. Just give God thanks, okay? You saw Jesus during his lifetime was violating the law in a sense of Sabbaths and things like that. He was doing good in the Sabbath. He was picking corn in the Sabbath and like that. And he says, hey, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was not, man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man. And it's a picture of me coming and bringing you the rest and salvation. And you cease from your works as God also did from his, Hebrews 3 tells us. And it's a rest for the people of God in salvation. You cease from your works. I'm a picture of the Sabbath. You don't have to keep it the same anymore. Okay. And so, you might have questions about that. I will answer that another week about that. And so we'll get to that. Next, for example, a day of the Lord, a day for worshiping God and things like that. Let's go to Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 5. We know the day in the Old Testament when somebody picked up sticks one day, God said, kill him. He violated the Sabbath. Okay, that was it. And first Sabbath, guy under the law, guy went out, picked up some sticks. God said, kill him. That was the law. Now watch the esteeming of that day, the Sabbath day. Watch how it's changed in Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord regardeth, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Okay, he says, relax. Remember Sunday night message? Relax! And we talk about so much. He says, you know what? I've talked to Seventh-day Adventists before, and I don't care that they meet on Saturday. Fine, you meet on Saturday. Make that the day you esteem to the Lord. Great. Awesome. When you do Sunday, it's great. If you know what? If the government came and was going to put us in jail if we met and they only checked on Sundays, I'd do it on Friday morning. That's fine. You give it to the Lord. Now, we Basically, there were some things in the Bible, like Christ's resurrection, that seemed like in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 16, some other things, it seemed like they favored Sunday. But I don't think you have to do Sunday church, okay? Now, it works better. Less people work on Sunday, so that's good. It's great to do that. But Thursday night, this is just as holy of a service as Sunday is. Okay? You give it to God. It's not a command to keep the Sabbath in the same way. Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. And as we see, let's look at Colossians 2. Colossians 2 names a bunch of things we're not under. But I just want to talk about feasts and holy days, for example. They were a symbol of things to come also. Now, I'll talk more about it. I want to say there was a few different things in the law. There was the ordinances, and there was the social commands of how to run a society, and then there was the morality of God. The morality of God didn't change. Okay? So those things didn't change. And he repeats those things in the New Testament, by the way. By the way, look at the list when he'll say, you know the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. He doesn't include the Sabbath in the commands. It's interesting. But there is a morality of God. You can't say, hey, I'm going to kill you, man. I'm not under the law anymore. You're still under that law, okay? God still thinks murder is wrong. And there's a morality of God that never changes, okay? And he repeats those things in the New Testament. Thou shalt not kill and all those things. And we're not going to get into all that tonight. Just wanted to let you know that. But there's a bunch of ceremonial things and a bunch of things that the Christ fulfilled we're not underneath anymore. And one of those things is festivals and Sabbaths and things like that. Colossians 2. And verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat. Well, why? Because if we went back, we read it earlier. Jesus, verse 14, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing to the cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink in respect of holy day or of new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things that come with the bodies of Christ. He says, do not let these holy days, you don't have to worry about, we don't have to keep Pentecost. We don't have to keep the Feast of Weeks, and we don't have to keep some of the Jewish holidays that they do now. Hanukkah wasn't even in the Bible. Okay, I have no problem with Hanukkah. It was a great miracle and a blessing from God that he kept the candles lit, and they had a great victory over the Romans and all those things. But it's never a Bible thing. Never was a Bible thing at all. But fine, you want to do those things? No problem with that. Just don't say it's a command. And don't let it take you back under the law. Just let it, if it helps you remember, that's okay. Next, we fulfill the entire law now very simply. I've been in one of my kicks again. It just, God, every, about once a year, God just reminds me about simplicity. He just says, it comes a child. You get ruined from Christ moving from the simplicity, 2 Corinthians 11:3. God says, and God's been giving back to me about simplicity again. Just simple. And really simple. God says, you want to fulfill the law. It is not by keeping all the sacrifices and keeping all the holy days and keeping all the Sabbaths and keeping all the rituals and keeping all the dietary things. It is, God says, I'll tell you how to do that. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Here's how you keep the law. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 12 says, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do unto you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Okay, doing good things to people, it talks about there. Look at verse 22. I'm sorry, it's the wrong verse. Chapter 22. Whoever wrote my notes has bad handwriting. And Matthew 22. And let's go down all the way to, I've got the wrong verse. I can't read my writing here. And so let's see, down to verse, yep, I don't got it in here. Nope, it's not in there. I can't read my writing, one of the two. Let's go to Romans chapter, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There's some verses in 1 John 2, but we got too many verses here. Romans chapter 8, to finish them all tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So there's several things. He says, treat your neighbor right. He says, love, in another passage, is the fulfilling of the law. In this passage, he says, if you walk in the Spirit, you have fulfilled the law. And so there's several things there. And you see there, we see these different things. They're fulfilling the law. The fulfilling the law is named in this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy heart, soul, mind, strength. And we see these things. You know what? I don't know what verse I'm looking for. Let me see if I can find it real quick. And, all right. You know what it did? I was in 23. That's why I couldn't find it. 22. No, we're in Matthew. You said 37? There we go. There we go. That's what I had written down. I was in the wrong chapter. Matthew 22:37. And Jesus said to them, thou wilt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. And so the fulfilling the law is in loving. It's in walking in the Spirit. It is doing those things for the Lord. Now, really simple, let me conclude this basically by saying this. We're not under the law. You don't have to keep the commandments of the law. As far as all the rituals and ceremonies, you don't have to have they get crazy now when they bring out, you have to have a certain kind of horn to blow to start the service and all these kind of things they do. And that's all fine until they start saying, yeah, you've got to do this. This is Bible command. God never took us out underneath the law. We are supposed to keep the law and be under Christ. Well, now we got a problem. Okay. By the way, I don't mind. I wouldn't mind if a Christian family said, you know what? I would like to understand what Passover is like. I would like to find out how to do that. And I would like to, as a family, celebrate Passover and remember the Exodus. Great. That'd be a fun thing to do. It would teach us more Bible. Go ahead and do it. No problem with that. You're not required. I do not think you are required to take a day off. Okay? Christ fulfilled the Sabbath. But God said, I made Sabbath for you. The Lord rested and was refreshed. It'll rest you. So I take a day off. Amen. Okay? I think, now what I always tell people, I say, listen, you can get two birds with one stone here. You take your Sunday, you give it all the way to God. You don't work at all. You go to church and you rest and think about the Lord all day. It's kind of a mix between an Old Testament Sabbath and a day to the Lord and a day of rest. I think if you do that, it's very wise. And I think you'll find Monday through Saturday much easier. Okay, just do that. No problem. But don't tell me, because you know what? I can't come to church. I live more than a Sabbath day's journey. So do most of you. Okay? You couldn't come to church. And so I do not mind. I think you ought to understand these feasts because they teach us about Jesus. No problem. I think a day off is biblical. God did it for you to be refreshed. And so I think you got to take a day off. And we do it on Monday. And to be more spiritual, I try to take 6 days off a week. But you know what? Many times on Monday, my phone rings as a pastor and I got to deal with something. But you know what? I'm not violating scripture. Okay? Because I'm not underneath the Sabbath system. And by the way, I've never met anybody who keeps a Sabbath. They might think they do. They haven't read very closely. They do not keep the Sabbath, and so there's nothing wrong with you wanting. By the way, I think you'd be healthier if you kept the Old Testament diet. It's not bad for you at all. You want to keep the Old Testament diet? Give me your bacon. Go for it. Okay, I don't mind. I mean. But you can do that, and you don't have to. You're just fine. You can do that, and you'll be healthier. By the way, God knew what He's doing, but you're not commanded to do it. It was a bunch of ordinances and a bunch of rituals and a bunch of things. And by the way, there's no temple right now. Good luck keeping all the sacrifices. Okay, go try to find you a Levite. Okay, good luck with that. And, you know, it's pretty tough, but that's okay. Because you know what? Love is a fulfillment of the law. We're married to Christ now. We're not under the law. We're under grace. Now, grace demands we live holy and righteous and pure and do the right things and live a godly life. But it does not require us to not pick up sticks on Sunday or Saturday. Doesn't require you to go to church. People get so uptight and they got to be so... We're not under the law. Praise God. I'm glad I'm under Christ. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't make it a day. I'd be kicked out of Israel a bunch of times. I mean, it's tough. But I'm under Christ. And you know what? By the way, in many ways, Christ is stricter than law. Law would not commit adultery. Christ, don't look at a woman with lust. Okay, it's... In many ways, it's stricter, but it's out of love for the Lord and love for people. And if you love the Lord and love people, it's like a relationship. You will do the right things for them. And so that's the law, is loving. All the law hangs on loving. And we just have the love is a fulfilling of the law. And so we got to worry about loving the Lord and loving people. And we fulfilled all the law. And that's what we need to focus on. So Christian, the law, first of all, you're not under the law. All right, understand? All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. I pray that we would just revel that we're not under the law, but also we can fulfill the whole law in loving and be close to Christ is what it's all about, is loving Jesus, loving you, Father, and being close to you. And I thank you for your word. May we learn and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May mighty things happen in our lives as we draw close to you. And Lord, I pray that we would never get this messed up doctrine where we got to keep the law to be saved. Lord, help us to take that message out there. Thank you for the Bible that teaches us this and your truth. We thank you for giving us the Bible and the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, and the book of Romans, who talk so in depth in these things. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, that's it for tonight. Just a lesson, and hopefully that can help you with